So we are, can I have the first little picture, please? Continuing through Proverbs. We're on week number 3. We're looking at wisdom for our life, for a whole of our life. And so if you've got a Bible, either a paper one or on your phone, do turn on to Proverbs chapter 9. We're looking at chapter 9, verses 1 to 18. So do look that up if you're interested in following along. But the words will be on the screen. Maybe. Maybe not. There we go. So starting chapter 9 of Proverbs, starting at verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." But little do they know that the dead are there, and her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Wow. Some of you are going, what on earth is that about? Well, we shall try and work out what that's about. But first, I love a quiz show. Anyone like a quiz show? Love a quiz show. Currently in our house, our favourite is the 1% Club. We have discovered that we can answer the harder questions, but we're a bit rubbish on the easier ones, which shouldn't actually make any sense. I love Pointless. I want to go on Pointless. Anybody want to go on Pointless with me? Liz, are we up for it? Should we do it? I would love to be on Pointless. Also love House of Games. Anyone watch House of Games? Also love House of Games. But what I cannot fathom for the life of me is only Connect. I don't understand the questions. I don't understand the categories. I cannot fathom what on earth they're talking about. Quiz shows often give you a choice. No more so than the infamous Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Do you remember this moment? This is a few years ago. This is Judith Keppel, and she has got to the last question to win £1 million. She has a choice what to do. She can look at the question, and she can decide that she doesn't know the answer to it, and she can take her money and go, or she can answer the question. So I'm going to see if you remember what she answered. I'm going to read it out, and you can vote on which you think the answer is, and we'll discover who amongst us will have won £1 million. Just to clarify, I don't have any money to give you. So tough. So the question is this. Which king was married to Eleanor of Aquitaine? And the choices are Henry I, Henry II, Richard I, or Henry V. So, have a ponder. Cast your minds back to history at school. I don't remember it at all. I've slept since then. So, have a ponder. So, in a charismatic way of raising your hands in response, who is voting for Henry I? Okay, we have some voting for Henry I. Henry II, who is voting for Henry II? A few more for Henry II. Who is voting for Richard I? Some voting for Richard I. Who's voting for Henry V? Oh, quite a few for that. Who does not give a Scooby, doesn't care? Okay, so if you voted for Henry II, you have just won £1 million. Yeah, congratulate yourself. It's not real. I hope all your choices are as wise in life as those who just chose the right answer. We have a zillion choices before us every day. As soon as we open our eyes, do we press snooze on our alarm clocks, or do we get out of bed? Do we stay in bed, or do you go to the... Do you stay in bed? That's not an alarm. Do you stay in bed, or do you get up to go to the loo? We have a variety of choices every day. We have big decisions, little decisions, big decisions that take time to think about. Do I go for this job or do I not? Do I get married? Shall I have this course of treatment or not? We have parenting choices, those of us who are parents. And there are lots of little choices. Some we make without thinking, some we spend time agonizing over whether it's right or wrong. We've got a load of young people who are about to take exams, entering exam season, and not only do they have the choices before them on those dreaded multiple choice questions, you know, those exam papers where all of them sound like they could be the right answer by the sneaky examiners who do that deliberately to make them think. But they've got choices as to what do they do with the next season in their lives. The Bible is full of stories about choices to make. Joshua tells the people of God, "Choose today who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Jesus reminds us in Matthew's gospel that there is a choice between a narrow gate in life and an easier, wider path. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that each builder must choose with care how to build on my foundation. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And our reading today puts choices before us. I wonder if you notice it. It asks us which path to take. The path of wisdom or the path of folly or foolishness. It's a fork in the road kind of moment. As I said earlier, wisdom in Proverbs, up to this point in Proverbs, is personified as female. And we hear the story of two women, wisdom and folly, and they're standing at the branch of the road and they're offering a banquet to those who pass by. They are, Proverbs suggests, calling out to try and attract attention. A bit of a sales pitch to the soul. And for those who've not been following the other sermons in this series, it might help to know that up to now in Proverbs, it's been a letter written from a father to a son, written probably by King Solomon, who is meant to be the wisest person on earth. And he's advising his son how to live his life from what he has learnt. So what sort of woman are you going to go for, my boy, is the setting. It's not a birds and the bees conversation. It's not even a dating and a Tinder conversation. It's a metaphor for who are you going to follow in life. Are you going to follow wisdom, or are you going to follow foolishness? At one side of the road stands Lady Wisdom. This is what the internet suggests Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly look like. I'm not quite sure about that, but there you go. At one side of the road stands Lady Wisdom with her house set up to welcome all who come and enjoy her hospitality. She's got seven pillars. Seven is the number in the Bible of completeness and wholeness. We're told she's got meat. We're having a barbecue around her house. She's got wine. How exciting. Party. She's got servants. She's got all that you would want to come and enjoy her hospitality. Especially, she calls out to those who have no sense. I like that. We all know somebody who has no sense. And now you've all got somebody in your head that you're thinking of as soon as I said that. On the other side of the road is a picture of a woman called Folly. She's foolishness personified. She wants to lure anyone in who's foolish enough to come and taste her forbidden fruit, to come and drink her stolen water, says Proverbs. And her plea is the lie that if you get away with something you shouldn't be doing, then the pleasure is multiplied. But we all know that's a dreadful and fearful lie. There are descriptions of people in the passage that we heard. Who are you? Are you wise? The wise listen to wisdom's teaching and make the most of it, Proverbs said. They become wiser still. They understand that learning from wisdom doesn't make you less important, it actually builds you up. Would you consider yourself to be a person who, if someone comes up to you and says, do you know, you didn't do that right, or you messed that up, do you go, yeah, you're right, I'm going to go away and think about that, thank you? Or do you go, self-defensive, how dare you? I've been doing this job since you were in nappies. How do you respond? To criticism or to rebuke? Would you class yourself as a wise person? The second sort of person that is mentioned is mockers. This is the person who thinks they know everything. When you try and correct this sort of person, they'll only mansplain or womansplain back to you. Anybody know somebody like that? I think from your faces, you're all thinking of somebody. Indeed. You'll usually find them writing letters to newspapers or being keyboard warriors and trolls on social media. We all know someone that you just can't tell anything to, because they've been there, they've done that, they know better than you. Verse 12 says, if you're wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Are you a mocker? Well, after that description, I hope you're not. And the third group of people are the simple, which sounds really harsh, doesn't it? Because nobody wants to be thought of as simple. It's those who've not made their mind up yet. Those who are being urged to make a decision to choose the path they will follow. Lady Wisdom urges them to come and join her for a meal and see all that's prepared. Take advantage of what's on offer, she says, this banquet, and then you'll live. You'll have insight to live wisely. She urges them, in other words, to make a faith commitment to wisdom, to become teachable, to leave your companions who are foolish and doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, and learn from wisdom. To give up immaturity and move to maturity. But the foolish woman is a contrast. It's deliberate. She's not built her house yet. She's not got seven pillars. She's not prepared a feast. In fact, she doesn't prepare anything. She just wants to lure people in. And we're told that she does that with stolen water and with food eaten in secret, which is delicious. She lures people in with things that don't last, but with things that entice. She's not prepared a meal for her guests. She's offering them things that are stolen. But who wants that? Who wants stolen water and food when you can have wine and a banquet? The point being made is that there is always a choice, isn't there, in life? And this is the choice. The choice of wisdom and going the right way, even if folly's way looks momentarily attractive. Verse 10 says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the end result of the decision that is made. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many and years will be added to your life. Solomon finishes his last wisdom lesson where he began right at the beginning in week one when Colin started talking about that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, it doesn't mean that we've got to be scared of God. It means that we're aware of who God is. It means that God is God and we are not. It means God is our highest priority and our foundational trust. God has our allegiance and our affection and our attention. When we fear the Lord, we have him higher than we place ourselves. And I know that that's always not the truth in my life. Sometimes I like to make sure that I am in control and not God. And that's the point. Who do you follow in your life? It's a bit of a no-brainer if you're a Christian, but it's living that out and what that looks like, isn't it? Maybe there are times when we're all a bit of a scoffer or a mocker. In pride, we want to do things our own way. And we don't really like anyone, not even God, telling us how we need to be living our lives. Lady Wisdom is challenging us this morning through this scripture to keep on choosing the right path. And that path is God. To choose to fear the Lord and make him our affection and give him our allegiance. But that requires more than just information. That requires a bit of transformation in our hearts. And that's the beauty of the Christian gospel. Because God understands human history better than we could ever. He knows that actually we're often rat bags as people and our hearts need heart surgery. He knows that on our own, we'd never seek after him, we'd want to go our own way. And so that's precisely why he came to help us out in Jesus. The most famous verse in the Bible says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The next verse says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And Jesus summed up his mission in these words: "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The point is this: that God the Father sends God the Son, Jesus, to seek and save the lost, to be the great physician to those of us who are sick of carrying our baggage around, our sin. And God pursues us, and the question before us this morning is, how do we respond to God? Who do we choose in life? Do we choose wisdom and putting God first and allowing him to lead us? Or do we choose ourselves and foolishness and being in control? And that's the sort of question that you can't phone a friend on. There are no multiple choice answers. There's no 50-50 like you'd find on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's a question that all of us have to answer. What do you say to God when God says, "Will you follow me?" I'm going to invite the band back whilst we're thinking about that. What do you say to that question? And if you were thinking, "Well, actually, I don't actually know what I personally would say this morning to that question," when we're asked, "Who do you choose? Do you choose wisdom or foolishness?" Well, maybe today's the day to begin to think about that question, even if you've never thought of it before. And if you don't know the answer to that question, well, why don't you ask the person who brought you to church this morning? Or ask me over coffee, or ask one of the band, or ask the brainy Liz, quiz extraordinaire, on the sound desk. What do we say to the question, who do we choose? Because I think there is one answer. And I think for the best way to live, that answer is choosing God in Jesus. Who do you choose?